canceled. We're starting a new series today. Our new series is titled Canceled. And our message today, the title of our message today is Putting on the New You. Putting on the New You. Can you put up the title of today's message, please? Putting on the New You. The principal scripture for the message is Colossians 3, 1 through 17. We're not going to read that entire passage today. Please read it in your time. It helps put the message in context, but I didn't want to do such a lengthy reading. So I'm going to focus my attention for today's message on verses 1 through 4. Okay? Colossians 3, verses 1 through 4. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Thus far the scripture. We're living in there's an interesting phenomenon that's going on in our culture right now. It's called cancel culture. Now, for those of you that have been living on another planet and you're not aware of this whole phenomenon of cancel culture, let me give you the idealistic view. Okay, cancel culture, at its purest and most idealistic, is a method to stop wrong words or actions. People want to put out the wrong things going on in the world and see some sort of justice for wrongdoing. The problem with cancel culture is that it quickly runs astray and morphs into censorship or even fascism. There's an irrational desire to use today's, and I have to say this in quotes, morality, such as it is, to fix the issues of the past. In one case, recently, on the TV show Jeopardy, they selected a new host after the death of legendary host Alex Trebek. The new host was almost immediately removed because of something he said in high school. Yeah, something he said in high school. Now, I know all of y'all were like perfect in high school, but I was completely crazy in high school. I'm so glad I didn't write nothing in nobody's yearbook. I'm glad I didn't give no quotes. I didn't do none of that. They came to me, "What do you want to say about this?" I said nothing. And I didn't realize, I thought I was being funny, but I didn't realize I was protecting my future me. Because, see, with cancel culture, it's not good enough for a person to apologize. It's not good enough that they have a life of good works since they made that mistake. All that matters is you did this, and we, the collective environment who God has ordained to adjudicate your actions, have decided that you should not exist. And not only should you not exist, nobody should listen to you. You should not have any say-so on anything. The cancel culturalists, as I refer to them, have even sought to have Confederate statues removed. And in their misguided zeal, even wanted to have a statue of Abraham Lincoln removed. And they did tear down the statue of Frederick Douglass. So now let me say this. If you're one of those cancel culture people, if that's your call in life, you feel like it's your job, or everybody else gets it right, can you please read a history book? Can you please read a history book? Abraham Lincoln literally took a bullet to the head to end slavery. Literally. Frederick Douglass was an escaped slave who became an abolitionist and dedicated his life to destroying the practice of slavery in America. So not only do we have a culture where people want to cancel stuff, but they want to cancel sometimes the wrong stuff. I've had people ask me, they said, you mean to tell me you're not for the taking down of Confederate statues? And so I said, no. I said, no. I said, maybe it's because my big brother is Jewish. And I just follow the Jewish way of doing things. The Jews, they built monuments to the Holocaust. They built Holocaust museums. They said, we want to make sure everybody remembers this so we never do this again. So there's no benefit to whitewashing history. There's no benefit to destroying the past. We can learn from the past. Trust me, if we had not gone through what we've been through, we wouldn't be the nation we are today. Mm-hmm. So the question becomes, what is God's position next? What is God's position? God expects us to cancel old thoughts and habits to get heaven's perspective. Now, this is God's cancel culture. God's cancel culture is about canceling old thoughts and old habits so that we can have heaven's perspective. And it's amazing to me that we have Christians that are cancel culture people. You know, the church can't pretend to be innocent on this. The church has been canceling stuff for the longest. I remember when the Winans first came out, and I loved them because it was like the Gospel Temptations or something, man. I was like, this is cool. And you went to church, and them old folks, that ain't gospel music. What in the world? And Lord have mercy, when Kirk Franklin came along. When Kirk Franklin came, well, you know, he earned some of that now, but when Kirk Franklin came along, they really had a fit. Because long as you were singing about the rough side of the mountain, I'm climbing up on the rough side of the mountain. Man, listen, I figured out a long time ago, I don't even like climbing mountains. You see what I'm saying? That's right. Say that again. She said it's easier to stomp. So God wants us to get heaven's perspective. And so how do we get heaven's perspective and get rid of the things that are keeping us from having heaven's perspective? Because that's what God wants to get rid of. God wants to get rid of anything in your life that is keeping you from seeing the world through his eyes. Are you hearing me? Let's look at the scripture. Watch this. Colossians 3:2. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. Lord, I don't know what's gonna happen next. The economy bad, gas done gone back up over the $3 the gallon. And I don't know what I'm gonna do. Get your mind on things above. That's what you're gonna do. Get your mind. Think about the fact that I serve a God who my God doesn't have more than enough. He is more than enough. And so it doesn't matter. Listen to me. See, everybody think, Sasha, people think I'm crazy because I say stuff like this. But when stuff starts going crazy around me and people go, how can you be so calm? I said, that's because it doesn't apply to me. Amen. I'm not a part of that system. I am a citizen of heaven. I have heaven's perspective, and therefore I live as though what's going on around me has absolutely nothing to do with me. And then I tell those who are in that vortex, who are caught in that system, if you want to be able to live stress-free like me, you're going to have to believe what I believe. And I believe that I am here on a this is not my home. I am just passing through. There is another place that I'm supposed to be. And so everywhere I go, I introduce that place to heaven's perspective. I introduce that place to God's perspective. How does God see sickness? How does God see coronavirus? How does God see the economy? How does God see the gas prices? I want to know God's perspective on everything, because I am assured of one thing. Jesus would not take the vaccine, because he healed them of all their diseases and he took authority over sickness. And so he's my refuge. He's my peace. And but it starts with your mind. We don't sing songs like we used to. We used to sing songs, I got a mind to live right. I got a mind to live right. I got a mind to live right every day since Jesus saved me, sanctified me holy. I got a mind to live right every day. We don't sing songs like that because we got other stuff on our mind. We got other stuff on our mind, and it ain't right. Thank you. Thank you. And so what has happened is the insanity of the world has infiltrated the church. And the insanity of the world is now causing believers to have stress and anxiety. Y'all do realize stress and anxiety is not a part of who we are as believers. You can't have stress and anxiety and then in the next breath say, but I'm trusting the Lord. I'm pulling my hair out, but I'm trusting the Lord. Banging my head up against the wall, but I'm trusting the Lord. It just doesn't work that way. It starts with your mind. Next verse. Philippians 2:5. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, I like the way the King James says it. The King James says, let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. So it's talking about that I have to give permission for the mind of Christ to operate in me. I know y'all think, you know, because y'all came up in them churches talking about, ooh, yeah, church this morning. They caught the Holy Ghost. I tell people, you do realize you can catch a cold, you can catch a football, you can catch a baseball, but you don't catch the Holy Ghost. No. See, because the idea seems to be that the Holy Ghost came to the room, just hit you in the head. And now all of a sudden, no, that's not how it works. You see, you have to allow the mind of Christ that comes with the Holy Spirit. Listen to me. It comes with the Holy Spirit. So how do I get his mind? I have to immerse myself in his word, because his mind is found in his word. And as I developed his mind, guess what happened? I stopped worrying about things of the earth. Because this ain't my home. You ever been to somebody's house? You ever been to somebody's house and something was clearly out of place? And you could see it was clearly out of place. And you had to remind yourself, this ain't my house. This ain't my house. That's crazy there. ordinary people wouldn't put that there, you know, but it ain't my house. So I just gotta not look at it. Well, that's how we're supposed to live in the world. This ain't my house. So in my world, for those of you watching, so that you don't get offended at what I'm about to say, I'm talking about my world. You don't have to live in my world. In my world, I agree with God that there are two genders. Male and female created he, them. I agree with God on that. The other 120 genders, they're of this earth. That was a creation of man's depravity. And so therefore I don't have to abide by that. And if you want to cancel me for it, guess who's cool with it? Because I wasn't trying to hang out with you no way. I'm sorry, y'all. Just trying to make. So, but it all starts with the mind. It all starts with the mind. It starts with us canceling the stuff that's not like God and dwelling on the stuff that is God. Are you hearing me? Next. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Leave that up, please. That which is good, acceptable, and perfect. My godbrother told me this week, in one of his devotions, he told the people that were doing the devotion with him, he said, always remember, as believers, we're either being conformed or we're being transformed. That's the only. So now, how do we change people? How do we change people, really? You have to change the way they think. If you don't change the way they think, guess what? They're not changed. Are you hearing me? So the Bible tells us, it says, don't be conformed to the world. Now, when it's saying don't be conformed to the world, it's saying don't let the world's way of thinking impose itself on you. Even if this means, I would rather stand alone than to stand with y'all and y'all mess. No. Now, you got to understand, we in the church, we got our own stuff. We can be messy in the church. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Okay? But what I'm seeing is that the church, this is crazy thinking to me. It's upside down thinking to me. That the church is trying to be as much like the world as it can in an effort to change the world. And it doesn't work. Okay, I know y'all can't tell, but I need to lose a few pounds. I know the camera shaves off about 20, but I know y'all can't tell. I need to lose a few pounds. Guess what? I can go to a hot dog eating contest if I want to, talking about I'm just going over here to show them that you can eat as many hot dogs as you want and still lose weight. Guess who ain't going to lose no weight? I can go to a cake eating contest if I want to. I'm just hanging out with them so I can show them that you can eat cake and lose weight. Guess what? Ain't gonna happen. I've got to have a change of mind. Change of mind always ends up with change of actions. Change of actions always end up with change of environment. Are you hearing me? All right. Next. You can't get dressed up without first cleaning up. You can't get dressed up without first cleaning up. Let me tell you what I mean by that. Y'all ever heard the term casket sharp? You ever heard the term casket sharp? You can put on the best tuxedo you can find. You could put on. Somebody give me a gown maker. You can put on a Vera Wang that is tailored to every curve of your body. But let me just tell you something. If you don't take a good shower first, you're going to ruin that whole outfit. I don't care. I don't care how your gaiters shine. I don't care nothing about your red bottoms. I don't care nothing about your Vera Wang. I don't care nothing about the color of your tie. I don't care. If you didn't take time to spend at least 30, 40 good minutes in the bathroom cleaning some stuff up with soap, thank you, and water, and then support it with deodorant and baby powder. The soap and water only goes so far through the day. You gotta have, you need some support. But let me just say why I say this. Because the church is trying to dress up without cleaning up. The church is trying to dress up without cleaning up. We don't even want to talk about living right. We don't even want to talk about doing right. We've gotten to the point that now churches will actually allow you to sing on the choir knowing that you're in sexual sin. See, when I came up, if they found out, you know, I was a teenager, if they found out you were sleeping with your girlfriend, ain't gonna be no singing. They would sit you down so strong until you couldn't sing at home. We don't want you singing at home. We need you to get saved first. No, I'm serious. They didn't play that. How you gonna do the work of the Lord and you got all this stuff going on in your life? Get. And they would make you go do your first works over. Isn't that what it says in Revelation 2? They would make you go do your first works over. Okay, we're gonna take you because evidently somewhere along the line you done left the Holy Ghost. I know he won't leave you, but you left him. And so they would tell you, you got to get this together. Now we wanna look holy without having to be holy. We want people to acknowledge us as righteous without having to be righteous. This is why we hide behind titles so much. Let me move on. I'm starting to meddle too much. Let me move on. Next. Here's what the scripture says. Colossians 3, 5 through 7 says, therefore consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality. Consider the members of your body as dead to immorality. What is immorality? It's all forms of sexual sin. Dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desires, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. For it is because of these things that the wrath of God will come upon the sons of disobedience. And in them you also once walked, when you were living in them. So what's Paul saying here? He's saying, look, you can't get dressed up without being cleaned up. These are the stuff that was supposed to die at the cross. Here's what we do though. Here's what we do. We have this list of big stuff, and because we don't do the big stuff, we so holy. Well, I ain't cussing nobody out today, so I'm saved. Hallelujah. You need to get your life together because I'm holy. I wasn't looking at nobody. Stop that. I wasn't looking at nobody. Stop that. Don't do that. Don't look at that. Don't do that because if I'm going to look at somebody, I'm going to look in that second row. No. Those of you watching at home, evidently this is an interactive message. They helping me preach from the pews every Sunday. Thank you. But here's the bottom line. This is stuff that we were supposed to put away. That is supposed to be. He said you're dead to your earthly self. He said, you're human. So when you get in your moment of carnality, when you get in your flesh and you start talking about, they don't know me, this is just how I am. What you are doing is you're identifying with the you who's not supposed to exist anymore. So you don't, so you've gone down to the graveyard, dug up a dead body, got your defibrillator, clear, and resurrected something that God said is dead. God said, that's not a part of you anymore. What are you doing? What are you doing? Listen, y'all. Everybody has bad days. Let me say it in a way that y'all understand. Everybody has bad days. Everybody has days when things don't go according to plan. Everybody has days when they're frustrated. Everybody has days when they want to hit something or someone. Everybody has days where they want to scream. Are you hearing me? I'm just talking about what happened to me this week. And I'm just hoping y'all can relate. Because I have a certain expectation, right? I have a certain expectation, and I've put in the work. And when things ain't going the way I think they should go, after I done put in the work to get the expectation that I want, now I'm furious inside. Most of the time, I can disguise it very well. My wife told me this morning, she said, you're frustrated. I said, and? She said, it's starting to show. I said, enjoy it. Because it ain't going nowhere no time soon. I got to deal with this. I'm a real guy. I'm just, you know. So, but there are some things that Paul says, hey, this stuff is supposed to be dead. Now watch this, because in our next point, Paul talks about the things that we allow to survive the cross. Watch this, next. Oh, I'm sorry, I have one more scripture. Ephesians 4, 22, 24. Now you got to read the verses coming before that to get this in context, but I want to focus here. That in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the what? You lay aside the old self. See how much God is talking about canceling that old nature? Lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind. There we go again. Change only happens if it happens in the mind first. Be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness and of the truth. Put on the new self. Change your mind to put on the new self. Change your mind, put on the new self. You ever seen somebody put on an old suit and the suit is dated? You know, I'm talking about like that 1978 tuxedo they wore to the prom. Yeah, the powder blue one, you know. For some reason, powder blue was big at proms for, I don't know what that was about. And it's got the little velvet lapels, you know. And they put it on thinking they are really clean. Like, you don't know. They actually prancing. You don't know. When you... You don't know. No, we don't know. We really don't. And we don't want to know. We would appreciate it if you would stop showing us. You're traumatizing us right now. But see, this is what we do sometimes. We're still wearing the old self, trying to look holy and trying to look righteous. See how good I am? See how I praise God? You can't praise God like me. Because we're trying to get attention off of how clean we ain't. See, church will teach you a lot. But if you ain't careful, church will make you a really good liar. I'm just being honest. Some of the best liars I know in church. Come to church, act like you got a great marriage. And then your kids over in children's church telling everybody, Mama hit daddy on the way to church. Because the kids going to tell everything. I know y'all think that little talk you give the kids work. Don't you tell nobody nothing that goes on in this house. What goes on in this house stays in this house. You better remember that, because if I ever find out you out there talking about my business, then just know you're going to have trouble. Kids like, yes, ma'am. As soon as they get to school, man, my mom is tripping. But you wanna present yourself as having it all together. Next, watch this. When we think we're clean, there's more cleaning to do. When we think we're clean, there's more cleaning to do. Dr. Oz once said, the TV doctor, Dr. Oz, he once said that part of the problem with some of the illnesses we're seeing in our society is that, number one, soaps have gotten stronger. You have these antibacterial soaps. He said the problem is it doesn't just kill the bad bacteria, it kills the good bacteria. And then he said the other problem, he said, and this is going to really surprise you, he said the other problem is that people take too many showers on average. He said they take too many showers. He said, if, unless you're in a job where you're working outside or you're working out or you're doing something physical, he said, usually one shower a day is plenty. He said, once you go beyond that, he said, you're actually hurting your immune system. But let me just be clear. He did say one a day. Thank you. So, you know, that one a week. that you know, I went to court this week, and I'm sitting in, I walked in the courthouse, and the guy, as I walked in, now, I had to go through security. Nobody said anything. Hey, how you doing, blah, blah, blah. I go through another phase. Nobody said anything. How you doing? I walk in the actual courtroom, and the guy goes, sir, you have to have a mask to come in here. I said, well, I don't have one. He said, well, go outside, they'll give you one. So I walked back outside, they hand me a mask. So I walked in with the mask in my hand. He said I had to have one. He didn't say I had to have it on. So I walked back in with the mask in my hand. And he said, sir, you have to have a mask. So I waved it at him. And so he got a little irritated with me, and I couldn't understand why he was getting so irritated, because I was complying completely with what he said. And so he got a little irritated. He said, sir, you have to put the mask on. I said, oh. I said, no, I can't wear this thing. I said, I can't do that. He said, well, then you're going to have to sit outside. I said, I'm cool. Now, I'm going to tell y'all the reason I was really cool with it. Because the guy who walked in before me, I was at least 6 feet. I was maintaining that social distancing thing. I was at least 6 feet from this dude, and he was burning my nose hairs. And so when the guy said, sit outside, I said, bless you. Because old boy evidently hadn't taken a shower in a couple weeks. Huh? No, he. I got to remember, folks are watching at home, so I can't, you know. Let me put it this way. Back in the 80s, they would have said, get the funk out of my face. Get the funk. That's how you live long enough, you have a song for everything. So what I'm trying to get you to see is that there's a perpetual cleaning that we have to do as believers in order to be who God wants us to be. All right? So watch this. Scripture. Colossians 3, 8 through 12. But now you also put them all aside. Now this is the stuff. Now Paul's not talking about as a believer. This is the stuff, that we sometimes allow to survive the cross. Anger, wrath, which is a seething anger, malice, slander, and abusive speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one. Didn't I tell y'all some of the greatest lies I know is in the church? That's why Paul had to put this here. Do not lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self with its evil practices. In other words, you haven't gotten rid of the old self if you haven't gotten rid of the old practices. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Not if you're still doing them. And have put on the new self, who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction. Now watch this. No distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian and Scythian, slave and freeman, but Christ is all and in all, so as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, let me help you here. Back up to verse 11. We talked to you, those of you that have been coming to our Bible study, we've been talking about in James, I think it was James chapter 1, James talks about the sin of partiality. The sin of partiality. And he used the example, a rich man comes into your worship service and you give him this great seat while you tell the poor man, just sit over there in the corner somewhere. Try not to disturb us. Okay? Well, now Paul now addresses this whole idea of partiality because he says that in Christ there's neither Jew nor Greek, uncircumcised or circumcised, bond or free. And so what he's saying is not only do you have to put off all of these internal things that go on within us, anger, wrath, malice, slander, not only do you have to get over that, but then you got to learn how to treat people. And learning how to treat people is evidence of humility. Humble people know how to treat people. Humble people know how to be kind. Humble people know how to be loving. Humble people know how to be patient. See, we don't even want to talk about this kind of stuff because it means that You mean to tell me God is actually expecting me to live right? You mean to tell me God is actually expecting me to live what the Bible says? I'm telling you, get up here. See, you told me you want to be a preacher and a pastor. I'm telling you, get up here and stuff just pops in your head. I just heard Bobby Boucher. You's going to school too? I am. She said you had. I don't know what happened to you. You took a left turn. I don't know what's wrong with you. You expect me to live right too? Ow. I'm sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. Hey, I grew up with my kids. So here's what I'm trying to get you to see. There are things that God wants canceled. I got one more scripture. I'm sorry. Let's get it. Thank you. Galatians. Oh, this is important. Galatians 5, 16 through 18. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you... Wait a minute. Hold on. I got a problem with that part, because he set me free. And that means I'm free to do whatever I want to do. And if you don't like it, then you're being religious and you're trying to hold me in bondage, because the Lord set me free. And I can do whatever I want. And I need you Christians to stay out of my business while I follow the Lord. Yeah, y'all laughing, but this is the attitude in the church right now. Everybody seems to think that, see, I'm telling y'all to listen to the wrong prophet. Oprah told y'all everybody can have their own truth, and y'all believe that stupid stuff. The Bible says, thy word, O Lord, is truth. There's only one truth. And so you can have your own experience, but you don't get to have your own truth. You can have your own viewpoint, but you don't get to have your own facts. Are you hearing me? So he says, so that you may not do what you please. So that you may not do. So, wait a minute. So you telling me that what Paul is actually saying is that in order for me to walk in the Spirit, I can't do what I want to do? I don't know about that, Paul, but we'll talk about it later. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, wait a minute. Paul just said that if I walk in the Spirit, then I'm not able to do everything I please. I'm not able to do what I want to do. Then he follows that up by saying, but if you walk in the Spirit, you're not under the law. So all those of you who think that us telling you, no, you can't do what you want to do, you have to do it God's way, if you think that is bondage, then that's all the evidence we need. There might be something wrong with your salvation. That's all the evidence we need, that there might be something wrong with your salvation. Deacon says, say it again. So. Because to those of us that we want to fulfill the will of God, we understand. And y'all don't understand, man. There are times I'm out in public and stuff is going haywire. And in the back of my mind, I want to fix this right now. And I have to tell myself, listen, stupid little boy. You somebody's pastor. You can't act like that. See, I've gotten to the place now where I try to see into the future a little bit. And I'm like, if I say that, she going to say the other thing. Then we're going to be fighting. Then it's going to be in the noon and newspaper. Pastor gets arrested for fighting over a $5 item. So I've just learned, hey. And here's what really irritates me. When they know they have been messing up and just jacking up, and so I get real quiet because I'm trying not to say the wrong thing, Sasha. I really am, because I don't want them to be talking about, look at Sasha's pastor on the news. And so, you know, I'm trying not to say the wrong thing, and I'm standing there, and then they actually say, is everything all right? No! But I have to go. I'm fine. Thank you for all of your assistance. I want you to know that I am grateful that I came here today and that I encountered you. Well, we're going to pray for you. Thank you. That's your mama said pray for anyhow. She know you. All right. There are things God wants us to get out of our lives. There are things God wants us to do away with. And here's the thing I find interesting, that sometimes we're expecting God to do what he leaves for us to do. In other words, he gave you power and authority over sin and bad habits. Now he expects you to exercise that power and authority. Exercise? We know you don't like exercise. We can look at you and tell you don't like exercise. He wants you to exercise authority. He wants you to be able to say, I'm not going to allow this in my life. I'm not going to put up with this. I've literally started saying things like, this is beneath me. God has designed me for so much better. That's how I keep myself in check. Now I'm not saying I get it right all the time. There are plenty of times, like this morning, where I needed Jesus. Jesus, keep me near the cross. Listen, I was singing that inside this morning. I needed Jesus. What I am trying to get you to see is that there are things that God wants you to cancel, and you have to cancel. Now, God doesn't want you canceling people. I figured I needed to say that because God doesn't want you canceling people. God doesn't want you canceling. I'm going to say it again. God don't want you canceling people. That whole thing I just read about patience, God expects you to be patient with people. People. Will God give you one what? For those of you watching at home, the mother of the church just asked, will God at least give you one cancellation? Can we just cancel one? The answer is no. The answer is no. Father, we certainly thank you. Lord, I'm glad we can have fun in church. We certainly thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word. We thank you for giving us your word to bring us into the knowledge of who you are. I pray, God, that we would all put on the new you, put on the new self, so that we can kill the old self. We could render him or her dead and buried, and we walk in the newness of life. I pray, God, that we would learn how to cancel every thought that's not like you, how to cancel every attribute and every tendency that's not like you, so that we can glorify you in our bodies and in our minds. I pray for each and every person represented here, each and every person watching at home. Hopefully we've said something to help them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Everyone said,
amen, amen. Let's give the man of God a hand. Man, that was a good message. It was a tough one. Pastor been on it recently. Like, he's been throwing.